Yeah. Oh, how thankful I am that I know him. I don't just know the song. I really know him. Do y'all know him? If you know him, then you know why we get so excited just calling his name. Now, some of y'all calling him because of what he did. Some of y'all calling him because of what he's doing. But there's a whole other crowd that call him because of what he's going to do. But whatever the situation, you got a reason to call him. There's power. There's power. There's power. There's power in that name. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being real in my life. There's a word for us in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4, verses 28 through 30. And then I'm going to jump to verses 41 and 42. But John, chapter 4, verse 28. Starts off by saying, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. That's very important. They went to see him, not her. Verse 41 said, and because of his words, these pronouns are referring to Jesus, because of Jesus' words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. From this text, I'm going to call the sermon this time, From Invited to Saved. From Invited to Saved. John chapter 4. Is a marvelous text to read and to reflect upon. Talks about Jesus ministering to a Samaritan woman who had some question marks around her moral character. He talks about being living water in John chapter 4. And this woman is able to go and tell her townspeople, come on out here and see this Jesus. And it was marvelous and noteworthy that they would just come. Imagine how difficult it is just to get people to come hear about Jesus. But she got her whole town to come. And more incredible than that is when the people came and heard Jesus for themselves, instead of just being invited to be in Jesus' presence, they became saved. And that's our prayer today, that there's somebody in the room who started off being invited to church, but it is our prayer that you would meet Jesus and leave here saved. Now, as I read this text and pondered moments of preaching, I noticed how Jesus did a marvelous work, and looked at the woman's witnessing to her townspeople and how folk got saved. And therefore, I thought it would be helpful to unpack the following thesis. We should be mindful of Jesus witnessing and salvation. What is Pastor talking about? He's talking about how we should be mindful of Jesus witnessing and salvation. Would y'all look at Jesus with me? He overcomes some walls of separation or division. First of all, he was a man talking to a woman in the first century Jewish culture out in public. This was an unusual situation. But he climbs over, goes around, tunnels under, breaks through the wall of gender for the sake of ministering to the woman. There is what I've labeled the ethnic wall. You might want to call it the sociological wall, whatever you want to call it. What I'm talking about is, here you have a Jew talking to a Samaritan. The Samaritan was viewed as what we would call in our day a mulatto, a half-breed, one who is somewhat Jewish, but also a little something else. And it was not expected, it was quite strange for the Jews and their pious self to talk to the half-breed Samaritan as they would suggest. But Jesus was more concerned about ministering to the woman than he was with hiding behind the ethnic wall. Then there is perhaps the spiritual wall. Again, feel free to relabel these as you choose. But I noticed that holy Jesus speaks to the sinful woman. When you read John chapter 4, you'll find out that this woman has had a number of men in her life. And Jesus suggests that the man she's with now is still not her husband. But in spite of Jesus being without sin, he talks to a woman who has sin because she is that important to him. Do you see Jesus negotiating walls for the sake of ministry? If we claim to be Christians, Christ-like believers, then you and I ought to have a reputation for going over, going under, going around, going through, somehow negotiating walls for the sake of ministry. Now, walls can be convenient. Walls keep outside stuff out and inside stuff in. They keep stuff organized. They provide a sense of safety. There are some reasons for walls, but the ministry of Jesus ought to be more important to us than the walls. Let me pull this down from this theoretical discussion and suggest to us that we need to help men and women get saved. It's high time to stop playing these little gender games that we play. There's no male or female in Christ Jesus. There is the need to chip through ethnic walls. Do you know that the Lord can save black folk, white folk, Hispanic folk, German folk, Chinese folk? Jesus saves to the utmost. We must chip through the spiritual walls that so easily separate us. Those who think they only have a little sin still need to be saved. Those who got a mountain of sin in their life still need to be saved. This is a good point as we wrestle with the issues of our day. This gay marriage stuff is picking up speed and coming down the track. John and Leroy want to get married in the church. And they're getting their nerve up to somehow sue the church for discrimination because you won't let John and Leroy get married in your church. Let me just tell y'all this up front so you won't be shocked as we go down the road. The pastor would rather turn in his license to marry anybody before I let anybody make me join in holy matrimony, John and Leroy. Pastor ain't gonna join no John and Leroy in no marriage. Y'all ain't gonna be standing up here kissing in front of me, talking about you saluting your partner. No! That ain't gonna happen on me. Now they might make that the law and we'll just have to do what we gotta do. But in spite of what some may label as homophobia, call it whatever you want to call it, that's where I'm at right now. You gotta figure out how to love people. Because even with gay folk, God sees more than their sexual behavior. And the reason I know he can see more than that sexual behavior, because all of y'all sitting up in here. Preach, Pastor. You know, it's a more sexual sins other than homosexuality. Yes. Did y'all know fornication is still sin?
Yes.
Did y'all know adultery is still sin? Did you know lust is still sin? Did you know pornography, whether it's in a magazine, DVD, or internet, all that's sin?
Yes.
Thank God he sees more than sexual activity. And as people of God, we got to figure out how do we negotiate the walls that separate us and minister to the human being. Perhaps something less sensitive to those here is this discussion, because it looked like I just hurt somebody when I was in that neighborhood. Let me move on to something a little bit easier to deal with. You've heard, you would have to be up under a rock somewhere not to hear this. You've heard about the illegal immigrants that's coming over our southern border. All these people are coming from Mexico into Texas and the southern states down there. And I say to you, you ought to be careful when you call a human being anything other than a human being. Because the more you can disassociate a human being from being a human being, you'll be surprised what you can do to them. Mm-hmm. You would beat a hoodlum down in the street like a dog. But it's an altogether different situation when you got to deal with somebody's son, somebody's brother, somebody's father. Be careful about the language, the labels you apply to people. But if we want to talk about immigrants, which I think you might want to revisit that phrase, but if you want to talk about immigrants, come on, let's talk about it. Now, you can't start the story from the middle of the story. So come on, let's go back to the beginning of the story and let's talk about immigrants. Y'all remember when Christopher Columbus got lost? Thought he was going to India, made his way to America. That's why they call the Native Americans Indians, because he thought he was in India. The man got lost. So they started coming over here, and at first we was going to live together. The Native Americans gonna live and the Europeans gonna live. And then we said, we like all of this land, and began to push them back. And when the Native Americans said, hey, this is our land, why are you pushing us? They started defending themselves, and when they defended their land, they became savages. Savages. You've seen the cowboy and Indian movies, savages. They scalp us, and they're savages. Now, it wasn't savage when they raped their women at night. But it was savage when they scalped you when you was trying to take their land. It wasn't savage when you massacred people. I think you ought to be careful with this term, immigrant. If anybody could lay claim to the land, it would be the Native American who we've been killed. Yeah. So, yes, there got to be some procedure to become a citizen, but it got to always be a humane procedure because you're dealing with human beings. It'll make better sense to you when you got yourself in a vice. So right now, it's just too abstract because most of y'all don't know no Mexicans up close and personal. You just think these are people that go around here and do the labor you don't want to deal with, but you ought to pay attention. Whenever America get used to dogging any fraction of the society, it won't be long before that crack gets back over here to you. And injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So even if you're not down for the Mexican cause, you better stay down for the human cause. Jesus was concerned with human beings, so much so that he would go over, around, under, and through walls to minister to human beings. If we claim to be Christians, we must be careful about letting walls stop us from doing ministry. Now, this ought not be so hard to understand when you think about how many walls the Lord had to jump over to minister to you and me. We don't deserve to be sitting up in here. The Lord looked past a whole lot of stuff that could have been held up as an excuse to keep us out. But the Lord looked past our faults and met our needs. And now as his agents, as his people, we are called to get past the walls and minister to the people. But not only Jesus, look at this woman witnessing here in this text. She didn't go to no classes. She didn't go to seminary. She probably wasn't as polished as we would like. But she went and told what she knew to be true. And you do know that's all witnessing is. Witnessing is simply telling what you know to be true. If you go to the courtroom, approach the witness stand, get sworn in to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, only thing they expect to come out of your mouth are the things you know to be true. So you did see the car speeding down Redding Road. You saw that. You did not see what happened when it went around the corner because you can't see what happened around the corner from where you were standing at. So when you say, well, they were speeding down the road and then they turned the corner trying to get down there to the crack house, the other attorney is going to say, objection, objection, cause for conjecture, objection. They don't know where they was going. The only thing they know is they drove down Redding and they turned left out of their sight. They don't know where they went down the road and they don't know what they was doing. That's beyond the scope of what they know to be true. The Lord wants you and me to be a witness for him. And though you may not have a seminary degree, though you may not be able to quote 50 passages of scripture, though you may not be as polished as others, you have some truth to share. You ought to at least be able to tell folks, I know I'm saved. I might not be the holiest thing around here, but I know I'm under the blood. Somebody ought to help me here. I may not be able to tell you a whole lot of stuff you want to know. I might not be impressive to you, but I know I am saved. I know that when this life is over, I don't have to worry about hell because Jesus paid for me to be able to experience eternal life. And I'm saved in spite of me. I'm saved because he died and pay for my sin. I'm not saved because I stopped sinning. I'm saved because he paid for my sin. You ought to be able to tell the truth about how the Lord brought you. You ought to be able to tell somebody, I don't know how the Lord did it, but I know nobody but the Lord. has brought me safe this far. Some of us are like the blind man who said, look, I don't know all the answers to these questions you're talking about. Only thing I know is I used to be blind, and now I see. Jesus has given me back my sight. When you look back over your life and see some of the mess you done had yourself in, and look at where you are today, you ought to be able to testify, look, I don't know all the details. Only thing I know is the Lord has brought me a mighty, mighty, mighty long ways. Tell the truth. You ought to be able to tell folk, I know the Lord is keeping me. I know the Lord is keeping me. It's not my exercise regimen. It's not my diet. It's not my money. It's not the people I know. It is the Lord who woke me up this morning. It's the Lord that has me in my right frame of mind. It's the Lord that keeps my heart beating and my lungs breathing. The Lord is keeping me. And you ought to be able to tell the truth about, I believe that the Lord will take care of me. I can't put my hope in Obama. I can't put my hope in the Democratic or the Republican Party, but I can put my hope in the Lord. The same Lord that took care of me under Bush and Clinton can take care of me whoever get into the White House for next year. My hope are not in these political structures. My hope is in the Lord. You ought to be able to tell the truth. And I'm thankful that these people came and tried to hear what this woman was talking about. But some of you all know, sometimes you tell the truth and people don't pay you much mind. The whole town don't always come just because we've witnessed. But the marvelous thing is, if you just sow the seed, if you just water the seed, God will handle providing the increase. But you don't want to be guilty of getting to the finishing line and you still got a bag full of seed. All of your seed should have been sown by the time you get to the end of your rope. Now I gotta move along and talk about salvation. Y'all still here? Yes. I told you that Jesus negotiates these walls, which implies we ought to do the same. I looked at the woman witnessing in spite of sin and lack of style and what have you in her life, and we ought to do the same. Now I'm talking about salvation. The text says in verse 41, and because of his words, many more became believers. That's code for people became saved. Now listen to what the saved people said. They said, we no longer believe just because of what you said. That's where we started. But now we've heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the savior of the world. Now, first thing I want to say about this point is there are many people who start off coming to church trying to see what Jesus has to offer them because the witness, normally a loved one, invited them to just come and see. When you look back over your life, most of us got in church because somebody said, come and see. And if it wasn't come and see, it was somebody said, we going. That big mama and them, we going. Mama didn't say come and see. Mama said get yourself up and come on in here. And it just got stuck in us over time. And because people are so dependent on us when they start their journey, it's important for us to live as ambassadors and examples for the Lord. Do you not know people will read you before they read the Bible? They're watching your life more than they're listening to our sermon. And therefore, you and I have a duty to make sure we represent the Lord well. However, at some point, all of us got to move beyond the witness and get to know the Lord. Are y'all listening to me? I don't care who led you to Christ. If you follow that person around long enough, you're going to find why the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So it may have been your mama, it may have been your father, it may have been your pastor, it may have been the deacon. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, you can't put your hope, your confidence, your faith, your trust in any human being. You got to get to know him. And what you will discover about him is there's no fault, there's no fracture, there's no sin, there's nothing wrong with the Lord. Are y'all gonna help me here? Now listen, let me tell you. If you ever get to know the Lord, you will stop being so distracted by the witness. One evidence of where you put your faith at is how do you respond to human beings behaving like human beings? All of us are less than what we ought to be. Anybody sitting up here think you got it all together? If you don't have it all together, that means we are less than what we ought to be. Now, some have more glaring inadequacies, but nobody wants to be under a microscope Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and my Lord, not Saturday. But if you could ever get past the witness, if you can ever get past the Samaritan woman who invited you to meet Jesus and get to hear and know Jesus for yourself, you may be disappointed in the witness, but you'll hold on to your faith. When you hear people talking about, I used to go to church, I used to be into all that Jesus stuff, I used to do this, I used to do that, but I don't do it anymore because that preacher is no good. Those deacons are no good. Those trustees are no good. The ushers don't smile right. The choir don't sing right. It's just a bunch of hypocrites down there. This language suggests you really didn't get to know him. You're still focusing on the person who invited you, but you fail to realize, don't nobody come to church for the usher. The usher's job is to escort you to the seat so you can be in position for the main event. You don't go down here to the music hall just to see the usher. The usher is there to take you to the seat so you can see the main event. When you come to church, this is a news broadcast here, the preacher's not the main event. The choir's not the main event. Jesus is the main event. And what a tragedy it is when you come to church and you see the preacher and you see the choir and you see the usher, but you don't see Jesus. But if you ever get to see him, you will stop worrying about the sins of people. Let me tell y'all why I'm so glad I met him. And I just want to tell you up front, you don't have to hate on me. You don't have to be jealous. You don't have to be envious. What God has done for others, he's able to do the same thing for you. So let me just tell y'all my little piece about Jesus. First of all, he is my Savior. Did y'all hear that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? I promise you, I'm gonna keep moving, but I need to just make a little footnote here. When the Lord says we will have everlasting life, the reason I get so excited about that is because the Lord says what he means and means what he says. There are people in your life and in mine who promise they will be with you until the very end. Don't you have people in your life that say, baby, I love you, I'm gonna be with you to the end? Pastor telling you some of those people are not going to be with you to the end. They're going to be with you till you get to the bend. Somebody help me up in here. They'll stay with you as long as you can live up to their expectations. But as soon as you bend, veer off the road, you'll find many of those who said, I'll be with you to the end, say, I'll be here when you get back over here. But the Lord says he got everlasting life. And then I was reading John chapter 6, verse 35, and heard the Lord talk about how he was living bread. And then John 4, 10 through 13, he talks about being living water. You know, you can go a long ways with bread and water. And Jesus says, I am the living bread, and I am the living water. If you would just drink of me, you will never thirst again. Oh, children, what a beautiful metaphor, beautiful picture, beautiful comparison that God supplies all that we need to make it along this earthly journey. Can I tell y'all, can I get a little closer? The Lord gives me purpose for living. I wonder, can I get anybody to say purpose? There are so many people who have no purpose in life. They do one thing today, something altogether different on tomorrow, do something altogether different next week, because there is no purpose, no direction to their life. But what I love about Jesus is when he saved me, he had a purpose for my life. And therefore, when things get rough and tough in my life, all I gotta do is just make sure I'm in the purpose of the Lord. And then trust that the Lord will take care of his investment. Somebody ought to help me here. Do you not know the more God invests in you, the more the Lord takes care of you? I said this morning, if you were the chief executive officer of a corporation, you wouldn't be so quick to fire folk who you have invested in. People who came in as a mail clerk, part-time, and worked their way up to prime and then full-time with benefits, worked their way up to supervision and stock options. You've put too much in that person just to let them go like the person who you just hired on yesterday. Well, when you think about what the Lord has invested in you, somebody here has been sick, and the Lord was the doctor who got you out of the sick room. Somebody's been in trouble, and you know it was the Lord who was your attorney. Somebody's had their back against the wall, and you know it was the Lord that made a way out of no way at all. I'm trying to get you to see he's invested too much in you just to leave you now. If you can just stay in the purpose of God, God will take care of you. But you know, Jesus did not only give me purpose, but he also gives me power. I wish I could get somebody to say power. He gives me the ability to pursue the purpose that he has for my life. You know, it's one thing to have goals, to have plans, to have dreams of what you want to do with your life. But it's an altogether different situation to have the power to pursue your purpose. Let me put it like this. All of us can get a map and talk about how we're going to leave Cincinnati. And in 8 or 9 hours, we're going to be down in Atlanta, Georgia. We have a marvelous purpose and a reasonable plan. But if you don't have any gas in your car, you don't have the power to carry out the plan. And what I love about the Lord is He does not only have a purpose for my life, but he gives me the power to pursue the purpose. Did y'all hear me? I confess this morning that when I was being interviewed as pastor of this church, maybe I should have been a little more forthright and told the committee how I am possessed with a spirit. Did you hear me? That there are times in my life when the spirit that possesses me takes control of my being and make me say things I would have never otherwise have said. This spirit that lives within me, I've been watching him over the years. He's teaching me how to smile when I really want to frown. He's teaching me how to pray when prayer is the last thing on my mind. This spirit that possesses me, it makes me be kind to those I know are stabbing me in my back. He gives me power to run on and see what the end will be. I'm talking about what Jesus does for me. Purpose, power, but now I'm talking about peace. That's what the Lord does for me. He gives me peace in the time of confusion. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but there's a whole lot that goes on in this world. It don't make a lot of sense to me, but what I love about Jesus is he gives me peace in a time of confusion. It don't make sense why the Lord would let somebody go into a movie theater and just shoot up all of these people. But the Lord gives me peace with unanswered questions. I wish I had a witness here. And not only peace, the Lord gives me joy on my journey. And you know, people spend billions of dollars trying to enjoy the journey of life. People spend all kinds of money on clothes, jewelry, cars, exotic trips. Others spend money on alcohol, drugs, and all kinds of stuff, just trying to have some joy, some happiness, some excitement in their life. But what I love about Jesus is Jesus gives me joy down in my soul. I don't need a crack pipe in order to have joy. I don't need Grey Goose in order to have joy. I got joy in you. And then Jesus gives me hope that goes beyond what I can see. Is hope that shines in the midst of darkness. Anybody here need a little more hope? I got hope in Jesus. I just believe the Lord has not brought me this far just to leave me here. God got some more, and if I keep my hands in the master's hand, the best is yet to come. Oh, children, I'm so glad that I moved from being invited to being saved. Anybody here glad you met Jesus? Anybody glad you got saved? Anybody glad that the Lord is real in your life? I'm thankful that my mama and my daddy made me go to church, but I'm sure not glad that when I went to church, I met Jesus, and Jesus has made all of the difference in my life. Mama made me go to church. Mama made me sing the little Sunday school song. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know from the Bible tells me so. Mama made me learn the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Thank you, Mama. Mama made me learn. Blessed are they who pray. Thank you, Mama. But I'm so glad in the garage of religion I met Jesus. I met him for myself, and he's more than a church building. He's more than memory work. He's more than songs that have become dear to me. He's real in my life. He walks with me. He talks with me. He reminds me I am his own. Is it anybody here that's happy to be saved? Don't fool me. I gotta close now. Is it anybody here happy about being saved? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it marvelous to know that you know that you know that you know I'm safe in the arms of Jesus? If I don't wake up in the morning, don't worry, don't fret. Jesus put my name in the book a long time ago, and I'm happy. I said I'm happy if all of my investments bust, come up bogus. I got an investment that I'm sure and very sure will stay solvent. His name is Jesus. Oh, 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 I love him. Anybody here love my Jesus? Anybody here love my Lord?
Anybody here know you can count on them? Know you can lean on them? Know you can trust them to see you through? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? I dare you say yes. I dare you say yes. I'm glad that I know him. He's not just somebody I talk about on Sunday. I know him. And I'm so glad to be in him. And he's in me. I'm so glad I moved past simply being invited to the church and got saved. And that's what this day is about. Is somebody moving past just being invited to go to church with me to getting saved? Death is gonna come knock on everybody's door. And when death comes, nobody's gonna be asking you about what church you went to, what you wore when you went to church, how much money you gave. The question is, are you saved? That's a Jesus question. And if you get Jesus in your life, he'll help you get in church. He'll give you power to live according to his will. But you got to keep the sequence right. You need to get saved. And if you know you're not saved, and here's a clue. If you're not confident you're saved, you're probably not saved. Because you ought to know that you're saved. And I know what gets you confused. You join church, you get baptized, and you assume you're saved. No, you can join church, get baptized, get rank in church. If you don't have Jesus, you're still not saved. You ought to get saved today. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If you know you need to get right with God, would you just step out in the aisle right now? You be